Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals and enter the promo code FILTHYCASUALS for $3 off any new subscription today.
And don't forget, if you live in Sydney, you can see us do a live Filthy Casuals episode plus Mario Kart tournament at Cake Wines on Saturday, December the 16th. You can also support the show on Patreon. If you enjoy getting it for free, you can chip in a little money and get a bunch of very sweet rewards. And finally, we have some t-shirts on sale designed by our very own Ben Vanel. You can find all of these things at our website, filthycasuals.com.au. Morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three extremely kind and knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. Sitting across from me, IRL, it's Ben Vernell.
Hey, Tommy, it's episode 107, Video Games Heaven.
Hell yeah, an actual shop from my youth.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, that was episode 107, Video Games Heaven.
Yes, yeah, very clunky. Also joining us, as always, Adam Knox.
Hello, Tommy. It's November the 9th. Video games are fine.
Isn't it the 8th?
It's November the 9th today.
I am winking at you.
This facade that for some reason we've decided we have to keep up. Yeah.
Like, as we record on July the 4th, 2001.
But yeah,
that's too long ago.
Video Games Heaven, some of our Victoria-based listeners may remember this chain. It was it was one at the Chadstone Shopping Centre. It was where I got a Nintendo 64.
A story you've told, I believe, on this show. Mm-hmm. You and your friend Pete.
Pete, yep. Yeah. Shout out to Pete.
Hey, Pete.
New dad, friend of the show, Pete. Been apparently playing a bit of Gran Turismo with the kid on his lap.
And the
hands around the kid.
Yep.
Clasping the controller.
So that kid's going to be a race car driver when he grows up. Well, race cars will drive themselves in the future, I guess.
Just vibrating DualShock into the skull of the kid, right, rattling the old brain around.
What's that little thing called? The bit on the top of a kid's head?
The perineum. Well, it depends what kind of kid you got.
Depends at what stage the kid is at.
Yeah.
But I always found that a bit weird, the video games heaven implying that there's been some kind of, you know, you by being in there, you've died in some way.
Yes.
Maybe I did go to one of them, actually. I was going to say I never went to one, but I think I bought Driver from for the PS1.
Did you play it with your kid?
Yeah, I had him on my lap and he was about the same exact size as me because he was 8 and I was 8.
I would have loved if they had had a store that editorializes a bit more. If they had had just two, like next door, there's Video Games Hell, and anything that comes in that they decide is just trash, that goes into the second store.
Nice.
All their worst employees are in there. That's not bad, don't you think? That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And Video Games Purgatory, where you just have to do the same thing every single day and they only sell Assassin's Creed.
Oh.
Throwing a little bit of shade at a game I actually kind of like.
Yeah. You just want to be controversial, man.
I want to create some ruckus.
You're doing you're bringing a bit of Steve Price to this video games journalism show.
You're a shock jock.
Who is Steve Price?
He's a shock jock.
He's the guy on the project that's always, you know, he's the right wing guy that's always stirring up controversy.
Yeah, and he always goes like, I don't know, those gay people, I reckon, maybe the other thing of what everyone else thinks.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I don't know why I picked a specific group and then a non-specific argument for him to have.
Yeah.
Big week. Oh, we should a couple of quick clarifications. We didn't touch on this last week.
Mm.
2 weeks ago, we talked a lot about Animal Crossing, there had just been a direct where they're like, this will be out in a few months.
Yes.
And then, but when we recorded, you had been able to get it, Ben, on your Google phone.
Yes.
And then an hour after that, all of us were able to get it.
Yeah.
Just in Australia, I think? Just on the Australian shop?
I think so, it's like a soft launch they're doing to basically figure out the cracks in it.
But did they... Have they come out and owned that, or was this some kind of fuck up?
No, they've basically said.
Right.
Yeah, but they're not promoting it because they want to just like stress test everything.
Yeah. And it's like you log on and it's like version 0.99. It's like, oh, we are in the inner circle here.
Oh, yeah.
But
I haven't played it at all. I haven't cared to.
I've played a tiny bit of it, but my phone is fucked at the moment, so it keeps crashing. But my big dumb jock of a girlfriend is very into it.
Nice.
Which is this was my great dream of a broad appeal Animal Crossing on a device that everyone has, was that other people will get to experience the joy of that little world.
Cool.
I haven't played it since since it broke Street Date.
Mm.
I've got it on my phone right now, but I just haven't had the urge to.
I just don't play games on my phone.
Yeah.
I would love to play it on the Switch, but I just haven't gone back to it.
There's been a lot of other stuff at the moment.
I downloaded it while I was in Shanghai, and it was thrilling because I was like, you haven't blocked this one yet, have you, boys? Haven't worked out how to bring this one down.
This game's all about capitalism.
You'd hate it. Lock me up. See if I care.
I'll go to one of your pocket camps.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We have some things to discuss. Just last night, relative to when we're recording this, there was a Nintendo Direct for Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which did either of you look at anything from it? I think it looks wonderful.
Nice.
I really think it looks great.
Yeah. Is the only thing I really strongly remember from it is that I hated the voice acting in the trailer that we last saw.
There's at E3. That was the first announcement. They're onto you, you little weeb. They announced a day one DLC of multi-voice.
Multilingual.
The English, is the quality of the English one still a little dodgy?
Well, they announced that, and then the stream that I watched, they announced that.
This motherfucker's dodging my questions.
No, he's building
look
up.
Look at him run rings. I'm Stephen Pricing.
You? I'm Stephen Merchant.
Yeah. I'm Steve Brabbering you and coming at you from behind.
Yeah, I'm not dodging it at all. I'm saying what's that over there? they announced that, and then they went straight into a new trailer that was all Japanese voice acting.
Right.
So there was no English voice acting in the one that I watched, I think was the UK stream.
Right.
The running around in the world stuff, it just looks so grand.
Yeah.
Like these worlds look huge, and there's such a great sense of scope and scale, and it kind of made me realize that, like, as much as I still am enjoying playing it, that's kind of what I was hoping there would be a bit more of in Mario Odyssey. I was hoping we'd get a couple more kingdoms that were just gigantic, because by and large they're all pretty contained, and they're pretty platformery, and they're pretty levely, whereas these ones in just these environments in Xenoblade, there's such a great sense of scope that I think looks very exciting.
And the style. I haven't watched this new trailer, but just the style and like the visual style, the music even,
is
just really appealing to
me. Big sky turtles and all that stuff.
All that kind of stuff is cool. And going into a bit more about the the director was like announcement of DLC, like ongoing, like new stories and stuff into next year. And, you know, a bit more about kind of how the combat works. That's my big – I kind of really want to like it because I like everything about the look of it. I don't know how I'm going to go with the combat, but I'm really excited for it now. So, gosh darn it, I'm going to give it a red-hot crack.
Oh, has there been any indication that you've seen of whether the first one – whether having played the first one will be particularly beneficial to playing this one?
I don't really know. It kind of,
because that's another thing that's stopping me from being particularly excited about it is because
it's a weird time in like media, because it feels like everything that's coming out, movies, TV shows, video games, they're all geared to being like a soft reboot.
They're
all just like, we assume that you weren't in on this, and to maximize our profits, we're going to make sure that you're going to get into it.
True. And
I mean, I guess everything's always been like that a little bit.
Maybe,
like, I don't know, you don't need to have read a book to read another book.
I reckon books.
You said here we go and it threw me.
I reckon series of books are the one thing where you definitely
have to
read. But most
books aren't in series. I mean, like, if you, like, there aren't a lot of series of books.
I reckon there are.
There are some. Outside of fantasy, there are.
There are some.
What a concession. You really rolled over and took it there, mate.
Okay.
You embarrassed yourself.
Most books that are a series, though, are one sort of continue, like, can be treated as one book.
Well, books don't
get rebooted.
Do
you know
what I mean? Sure, yeah, but like, well, imagine if someone just came along now and went, you know what? I'm going to have a crack at Harry Potter.
Yeah. There's been a bunch of people who fucking tried to rewrite Lord of the Rings over the years.
Has they really?
Not literally.
No. Oh, okay. George R.R. Martin is one of them.
Oh, what a hack.
No, but like, yeah, saying series of books should be treated like one book because they are inextricably linked together is basically saying, yeah, they're a series where you need to read the previous
ones. But the majority of other media that is happens in sequence or in a series doesn't act like that.
What about TV shows?
Now they do within the last 5 years, but every TV show before that basically did not. You could watch any episode of Friends and you're fine.
Yeah.
Until very recently, yeah, that hasn't
not 5 years. I'd say 20.
Maybe 8 years. Until, like The Sopranos or Buffy.
Yeah.
So Buffy, that is 20.
Yeah, but that is about 20 years.
But you know what I mean? The majority of shows didn't even do it.
Totally.
Then.
They used to be purposefully not serialized.
Yes. Well, yeah, because they couldn't rely on people having seen it totally week to week.
Because there's no way to catch up. There's no DVDs.
You know what? Yeah. Everything's different. There's no rule. Final Fantasy 15, you can not play any of them.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I was going to say, but Japanese RPGs in particular, no, they do it the least.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question.
You were asking the question. Yeah. I thought you were making a definitive statement.
It sounded like you were making a definitive statement.
I'm just trying to get the conversation started. You invite Steve Price on and you can't deal with his opinions.
And you pay the price.
The direct of Xenoblade last night, and I think even the last one did go into a fair amount of backstory about they both have been very much painting a picture of the world.
Yeah.
So it was like, I think the first one focused on really what the world is, and then last night's one was really about how your blades are like, they're like little creatures that help you in battle. So there was a lot of setup of the context of them. So not really relying on like, you know this guy, well, he's back and he's hornier than ever. It was in Japanese, so it may well have said that. I couldn't. Yeah.
I think that was the blurb for Austin Powers 2.
But yeah, it all looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Combat, I don't know. But I think the fact that it's on the Switch and portable, where previously if it was something on the telly, I would have just given up. Like being able to like, you know, spend more time with it as I tend to with the Switch will kind of force me into
The mechanics.
Having a bit more of actually kind of forcing myself to get over the hurdle instead of just giving up.
Yeah.
There's also going to be the armor that the main guy wears is coming to Zelda. Like a little unlockable thing, and his armor is pretty cool, and it sort of works in the context of Breath of the Wild. So that's kind of cool. They're still filtering stuff into that in anticipation of the new DLC. But
this is sort of similar, but in Monster Hunter World, you can play as Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
And her little cat is like one of the little robot things.
Nice.
Which is cool.
I'm into it.
I like that crossover
weird
stuff.
Weird crossover kind of stuff. Yeah. There was the Sega Sonic racing game, the last one that they did. You could play as Wreck-It Ralph. Now, that's cool.
Yeah.
Put Wreck-It Ralph in everything. Do you know what I mean? Like, once they made this big movie about a character who's, like, in video games, it should have just been the rule, like, he's now unlockable
He's part
everything.
Of the canon. Yeah.
He's part of video games canon.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what the game is.
Yeah.
I pretty strongly disagree with that.
I haven't seen the movie, so I could go either way.
It's not very good.
You don't think Wreck-It Ralph is good?
I heard it was great.
It's great. Yeah.
I didn't really like it very much.
Well,
I didn't like John C. Reilly in it, and I don't often not like John C. Reilly.
Wow.
Yeah.
But he's I thought that he was – he's great. He's in some of my favorite movies.
Mm.
But the Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Yes.
And I will list his worst movies here.
Right.
But
you don't like Talladega Nights?
Talladega Nights is one of the most bored I've ever been.
Times.
Gee, I was remembering it and my brain shut off.
Yeah.
That and fucking Nacho Libre.
Oh, I haven't seen
that. Jack Black Mexican wrestling one.
That movie's fun.
It's fucking terrible.
It's by the director of Napoleon Dynamite.
That's why then. Okay, now I know why it's bad. Napoleon Dynamite, also a shit movie.
A lot of listeners who can empathize with your story about being bored right about now.
I'm laying it out there. If you can't handle it, hey, switch off. Please don't. We need you.
Yes.
No, I think Wreck-It Ralph's great. There's one bit about Wreck-It Ralph that I didn't like.
What's that?
The gentleman next to me offered me some of his popcorn, and when I put my hand in the box, you'll never believe what was... No, there's a Rihanna song in it. There's like a pop song in there, which I thought was very jarring. I didn't think it worked in the context of that film. But everything else I thought was great.
Yep.
You mentioned, are we done with whatever we were talking about? Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
The fact that you said whatever we were talking about suggests that you are very much done with it.
Actually, I did have something more to say about that. I like the fact that it looks like it has kind of a more story-driven tone to it.
Yeah.
Because I love Breath of the Wild, but if it was lacking anything, it was kind of a legitimate structured story.
Yeah.
And all the bits that were in there were kind of weak.
Yeah, totally. So, like, I'd love to jump into an RPG on the Switch that is has more of a robust story to it.
Yeah.
I found whilst playing through Persona 5 that I wished it was on the Switch.
Almost
the whole time.
I would have played 10 times the amount of it so far I'd been able to take it.
10 hours?
I think they're betting on this being pretty big. Like, there's a big collector's edition-y thing coming out and the DLC through to next year. I don't know how it'll go here, but I imagine Japan, it's one of those things that's just going to be just huge. Yeah.
They very much staggered their releases pretty much one big game per month for the entire year as well.
Yeah. You brought up Sonic, Tommy.
Mm.
Now, the new Sonic game, Sonic Forces, has been getting some reviews.
Oh,
is that out?
Yeah. I think it's out tomorrow.
Yeah.
But reviews have started to come out.
And they not good.
They no good
at all.
Yeah.
It's kind of what we expected.
More like Sonic Forces, F-O-U-R, because it's getting a lot of 4 out of 10.
More like my Sonic.
My favorite part of that was the pause it took that you had to
work out how to spell. Yeah.
I was going to say Sonic Farses, but.
Yeah.
What about Sonic Fart Sis? And it's Sonic's sister, my original character, Brennick.
Wow. Brennick. Good
she
pull.
Farts. She farts.
Yeah, she farts. Yeah, so
Why don't we just stop doing this show and just make a Mad Magazine of video games every month instead?
That's not a bad idea. Why don't we do that as well?
Everybody hates Raymond.
Everybody hates Sonic. Oh. Sonic's
parents live across the road. He's showing up.
Oh.
Eggman's always coming over and getting into disputes with him. This was the biggest no-brainer of the year. Not doing everything about it. Just, you can create your own little fucking dumbass character. Like, all of it. Like, just the look.
Yeah.
It was
it's post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
What's Sonic going to do? Who gives a fuck?
I didn't actually bother downloading it to play it because of what I'm about to say. The demo for Sonic Forces, on the Switch at least, had a 1 minute time limit.
Oh,
really?
You could play the game for 60 seconds, otherwise known as a full Tommy Dasilo playthrough.
Stop it.
It's like making a terrible movie and inviting critics in for 1 minute.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think it was maybe bad.
We got to get out of here, Ricky Bobby.
Oh.
But it's...
Lay off John C. Reilly. He is a national
Magnolia trailer. Is one of my favorite films that's ever been made. It's very good.
Great film.
Yeah.
It's such
John C. Reilly's performance in it,
It's such a baffling approach that they have where they keep going, people have not liked any of these other times we've done this exact same thing with Sonic.
Yeah.
Maybe now the world is ready, though. Like, what do they think's going on?
Well, you know what's good, though, is they've tried something else for the first time in fucking ages with Sonic Mania.
Yeah.
This might be the last fucking one they...
You'd think after the 3D ones...
When you can directly compare the quality and how well they've done, I'm assuming...
But the way that they talk about it, I don't think they view it that way. Like, I remember seeing some interviews with, like, one of the Japanese heads of Sega or Sonic Team or whatever, just going, Sonic Mania was just, it was this little celebration that we commissioned. It was, you know what I mean? It was just meant to, they view it as this little treat
they
for the
ordered
fans.
An ice sculpture for a fucking party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's Sonic Mania, but okay.
But I don't think they looked at it as any kind of like, let's see how this goes. They're like, this was like a little treat that we threw out to the fans and that went well.
Yeah.
That was cool. What
else
is going on?
But you think, like, if they don't understand after their mishandling of this franchise basically sunk their company.
Yeah.
If that's not enough to get them to realize.
But even like just after it came out, after Sonic Mania came out, people were going, this is great. So DLC? And they asked this same dude in an interview and he went, no.
No.
Why would it's out? It's that's all it is.
Do you mean dumb loser choices? Because yes, we'll make some of them.
Gotta be stupid. But yeah, I'm kind of tempted to play it. Because you see little kind of clips of it in isolation and it's like, that kind of looks fun.
Yeah.
Now, fool me 13 times, shame on you.
This dumbass little hedgehog.
I got to play it. I want to know. I want to know how bad it is.
I'm more than willing for you to take that.
What's this thing now where they've just decided that now there's like two Sonics? Is just the default. It's
there's
like
16-bit Sonic and there's modern Sonic.
Yeah,
that's like, the like doing that for one game where it was like people really like that was like the I think maybe the only one in recent memory before many of the people have liked was that Generations.
Character is not in the top 15 of dumbest Sonic characters. Big the Cat.
Yeah, Big the
Let's
Cat.
Let's put in a fishing fucking shit mini anyway.
But I mean this idea of there being two alternate universe Sonics that are now in every game, they're just running along side by side. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
Well, yeah, but Sonic is stupid. And it's weird how much they lean on their fucked story that they've been, in inverted commas, writing.
Yeah. And the fact that there is still this like rabid fan base.
That's
that,
the crazy thing.
That is obsessed with it, that will not hear a bad word
probably
said against
it. Probably people listening to this. There's probably people.
Maybe.
If you are a big Sonic fan, figure out how to write and then write in and tell us why.
Take your dick out of your little Sonic plush toy for long enough to get your hands on a pen.
Stop writing your erotic fan fiction. It is bizarre though that you can have these rabid Sonic fans who are like who will play Sonic Mania, but also like Sonic Forces
that just love the world of it so much and they're just along for the ride.
Yeah,
like
saying rabid Sonic fans made me think Sonic plus rabids. Man, playing through Mario Odyssey, I wanted those the rabbits in it to be rabbits.
I did not at all.
I kind of like the rabbits now.
Yeah, and I didn't really like those rabbit designs. I preferred the rabbit designs.
They were okay, but they were rabbits and one of them was Irish.
I was just like, why are they rabbits at all? But if they're going to be kind of rabbits,
make them the Koopa Kids or something. Throw them in there.
I disagree. I just like that they did something new. I'm glad that they didn't lean on the Koopa Kids again because they've had them as the
They have not had the Koopa Kids for a long fucking time. Or like all eight of them.
Weren't they in
Mario World?
Something recent? Yeah.
Or Mario 3.
They're in Mario 3D World. They did make a comeback.
But there were only two of them
recently.
In Mario 3D
And they're
World.
In Mario 3D Land.
But there were only like two of them that you'd see again and again. That's another problem with Odyssey is you fight these four characters.
They come back twice again.
At least, more than.
Yeah.
And
if you're going to have Bowser and Peach and all of these staples, have the Koopa Kids. That's what I liked the nostalgic stuff about it.
Totally. Yeah. And have them be new, like have them be wedding planners. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Have them do all that shit. That's fun.
I like the design of the rabbit characters. I think they're good for what they are, even though it is a little weird that you can line all four of them up against the Koopa Kids and go, oh, that one's Wendy. That one's
Iggy.
Like they kind of all look and behave the same anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever told this, that when we went and played it at Nintendo, Adam, you were playing it when we got up to the first rabbit boss, the guy dressed in green, and you beat him really easily. And the woman was like, the PR woman from Nintendo who was with us was surprised by this.
Yeah.
She was like, wow, you did that quickly. And you went, I hate the Irish. And I don't think she quite got that you were joking.
I don't remember saying that.
I'm so motivated by my Gaelic hate.
Well, that isn't true. I was joking around. If anything, I hate rabbits.
Yeah, that should have been an indicator for her how easy the game was because, man, it's an easy game.
The boss fights in particular, the stuff that gets repeated is the weakest part of that.
Yeah, I was saying this to you the other day, Adam, to kind of sum up some thoughts from last week now that it's a little more settled in my head.
Yeah.
If that game had a three or four more kingdoms that were as big as the biggest one in there.
Yeah.
And then if the very first thing that you unlock post-credits is awesome.
Yes.
And then you unlock two more things that do not even come close to living up to that.
Mm-hmm.
So if that sense of like discovering new stuff continued for just a little bit longer, it would be in my top five games of all time.
Right.
As it is, I think it's really good. It's just there's not enough. There's just not enough new sense of discovery in it for me. And because I know there's a lot of moons to find and that's great and those little challenges are all really cool. But for me, going into a level and going like, oh, there's a cool platformy bit here. That doesn't stack up to the sense of discovery of going to a brand new world and wanting to pick it apart and finding everything in it.
Yeah.
I still think it's great though.
Yeah. I feel exactly the same way as I did last week because I haven't played any more of it.
Yeah.
But it's like I don't – there was a discussion today in a Facebook group we're in about the game of the year, what we think might get chosen as the game of the year. And I don't feel good that there are flaws in the game, but I'm like content that there are enough flaws that I can kind of discount it. Mm. Like it's definitely not going to be in my top games of the year.
Right.
I respect it, you know, and I liked playing through it, but I'm happy to just be like, oh, that was a nice Mario game. I'm going to set that aside.
Yeah. I still think it'll still be in my top, but everything about the lead up to me made me go, this is going to be number one with a bullet.
Right.
And I, without giving anything away, I don't think it'll be my number one.
Yeah.
Still, but also just a victim of the extremely high standard that I come to expect from a Mario game and the high standard of kind of living in the shadow of Breath of the Wild too, where I think the expectation of what they'd done with that kind of impacted me a lot going in.
I think it impacted me as well, being someone that previously to this year would have assumed I'd really like a new Mario game and I wouldn't even care about a new Zelda game.
Yeah.
And the fact that Breath of the Wild is one of the best games ever made, just surprising and creative and impressive in every way.
Well, there was that rumor for a bit that the release was going to be... Remember at the start of the year there was that rumor that Breath of the Wild was going to miss release and that Odyssey was ready to go, so they were going to bump that up. Mm-hmm. I think that would have been interesting to see how I'd felt about it if it had just kind of come out without a year of build-up.
You see, because the sense of discovery thing is nothing to do with what I enjoy. Like, it was fun, but the stuff I've enjoyed about Odyssey was the bits that you guys have brushed over while you've played it, is the specifics of, like, this little challenge or whatever and all these little, like, I went through, like, I'm done with playing it because I went through and played up to 500 and whatever moons and did the tough thing at the end and went, cool, and I'm not going to get those other 300 odd or whatever. But the particulars of it and how well designed every little bit of
again, it sounds like I'm shitting on it, but everything that is there is so good, like so meticulously designed and should we move on to there was more news?
Well, there's a couple of things. There was BlizzCon happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is Blizzard Convention.
The Blizzard Convention.
Oh.
A bunch of storm chasers.
Sounds cool.
Get together. Muse played. So it is cool.
Oh, all right.
Is that true or is that a no, Adam Knox?
I think that's
Spice?
True. I'm pretty sure that's true. The Muse played.
So that was BlizzCon 2007?
But Muse is still around.
Are they?
Yeah, they had an album this year, I think.
Oh, yeah, they just played BlizzCon.
Nothing really new, but I guess the new
just
thing
all the
was
classics.
There was a World of Warcraft expansion announced.
Just the Guitar Hero 3 song. Do that and fuck off, boys.
StarCraft 2 is going free to play.
Yeah.
The multiplayer part of that, at least. And I think this is the first of the single player bits, and there's three of them.
Right.
And then also
the World of Warcraft thing.
Yeah. So this is the thing that I wanted to bring it up for.
Yeah.
This was like rumored earlier in the year, but they're going to start doing World of Warcraft Classic. They called it, you know, so around the time Absolution came out.
Yes.
And it's going to be another server running where it will be exist as it was when the game came out.
Yeah.
Because it's changed fucking heaps in the amount of, in the, what, 13 years it's been out. That's the stuff I remember about it and when I was playing it. And when I saw that, there was a little pang in me that went, uh-oh. Uh-oh.
It's happening.
No, you don't have time to do this. Oh, no, don't. So I don't really know heaps of details about it. I don't think they've really said exactly how it's going to work or when it's going to happen. But that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
And also scary.
Yeah. Are you going to fail high school again because of it? You're going to fail your Persona 5 high school because you're playing World of Warcraft vanilla.
Fuck, man. I don't know. I can't do it.
No.
I can't do it again.
No.
But for anyone who's new to it or like, Yeah, I kind of wish that game had come out like 5 years earlier than it did.
Right.
Because then it would have been exactly in the time when I could have not had any detriment to my life
yeah.
from it. But like, yeah, that fucking thing is poisonous.
I never played it because I couldn't afford to pay for it monthly.
Yeah, right.
But and I think I would have loved it. And now I probably could play it.
Yeah. Benny's going in.
Yeah, I'll probably try it. Like,
it's... Yeah, I think like it's such a weird sort of landmark on how video games developed over the entire course of them that yeah. I think it's worth just dipping in and having a look around.
Yeah, yeah.
At some point, yeah. if you can. But yeah, it's a cool thing for them to do because they certainly don't have to do that.
No.
And I think the idea is because that's been sort of hemorrhaging players over the last few years.
Right.
Is maybe to get some old people back and get them into the modern stuff and get them paying subscription fees again.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. And forgetting that they're subscribed and just collecting that sweet dollars. That's how it works.
It's a digital gym, isn't it?
Yes.
It's kind of the opposite of a gym. Yeah. It is.
Ugh.
But yeah, that's cool. But other than that, I've been playing some actual real bloody games that exist at the moment.
Well, before we go into new games, let's talk about an old friend.
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about your friend Peter again, Tommy.
Yeah.
No, let's talk about...
What, do you mean Peter Loot Crate?
Yes.
He's a good guy.
He's a great guy. Yeah, so Loot Crate is sponsoring this episode. And look, I've got a question to ask you boys. Are you on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles?
I don't have the time. I can't be on a quest for epic gear again.
Well,
you're talking about in real life.
This is not a World of Warcraft loot crate, okay. Adam. However, it does allow you to get a bunch of cool shit without having to go out and waste your time hunting it all down. You get a little box of it direct to your house.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
It
we
is.
We've moved past that hunt for cool shit. As a society, yeah. we've moved past the need to spend a day shopping.
Yeah.
Like a fucking caveman hunting for berries.
Mm-hmm.
We're enlightened.
Don't do it anymore.
We're evolved. Now, Loot Crate, it's the best surprise you know is coming. And that's a pretty good tagline, if you ask me. So Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than 20 bunkos US a month.
Is that what their currency is?
Yeah. Bunkos? US bunkos.
Yes, I think it's Australian clams.
I didn't realize they were that afraid of nuclear war. they're trading bunkers.
Have you read the news lately?
I have deliberately avoided it because I've been in a world of war.
So there's other stuff. There's not just your regular loot crate. There's loot wear. There's loot pets. There's loot DX, which is a bigger boy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a bunch of cool shit that you get every month.
I wish Loot Pets was just you got sent a different animal each month.
That'd be cool.
That'd be great.
You just get a goldfish every month because it's dying.
Yeah, Loot Pets DX. You get like an elephant to your door and it is fucking dangerous.
Ooh, and angry. Yeah, so you get like t-shirts, you get figurines, you get like funny little, what would you call them? Like you get like a pitfall canister, you get a...
quirky homeware.
Yeah, was the word I was looking
for. Like you'd been down at Granny May's.
Stuff that's a good mix between useful and ornamental.
Yes, and silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, is that what a tchotchke is? What is a tchotchke?
Yeah, or...
I don't know what a tchotchke is.
I keep hearing the word tchotchke.
That's more just like a knick-knack or an ornament, I think.
Right, or like a Russian revolutionary.
A Google.
A Google.
Is another way of saying it.
Yeah, right.
Like a Russian revolution.
Russian revolutionary leader. Leon Trotsky.
Oh, God.
Baby, it ain't no Russian revolutionary leader.
So, yeah, DX is the bigger one. It's really cool. So, this month's theme is Unite 2.0.
Let me ask you, in the copy, did it say it's really cool or was that you freestyling? Because I reckon I know what my money's on.
Okay.
Ivan, it's really cool.
You'd be very surprised.
Would I now?
Yes.
What does Unite 2.0 mean?
So, they've done Unite before. And so it's about, you know, it's about teams and leagues and things like that. Right. This one is Justice League of America, Voltron.
Yep.
Legendary Defenders.
Yep.
It's this Voltron : Legendary Defenders. Overwatch.
Which one of the Voltron pilots had to pilot the colon?
Oh, I think it was one Adam Knox. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Oh, hell yeah.
So this is all very much
classic team-ups.
Yeah. Oh, this is a new one. This is a new copy point. All subscribers will also get a free download of the full first season of Batman the Telltale Series.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
That's really cool.
Free game.
Yeah.
That's rad.
I thought they were going to say a free download of this episode of the podcast. That's not a good deal, guys.
No. That's really cool. That first season of Batman's great.
Mm.
I still haven't played that.
You've been flapping your yap about it for a long time.
Yeah. One lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate of, and I quote, seriously epic proportions.
Mm.
Epic is a word that we should bring back into the lexicon.
I think it's been long enough where people have stopped using it as that sort of ironic usage where we could begin to use it to describe poetry
epic.
Again.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm off again.
Epic.
Oh, that was an epic fail. So you have until the 19th of this month.
Yep.
Or any month to get that month's theme. And then it's cut off and it rolls over to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get Unite, if you like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Overwatch, Voltron, Justice League of America, which they're all very good and very popular things.
As Leon Chotchky said, if the proletariat of Russia unite, we can start Russia 2.0. And they did. And it worked out fine.
Okay. I like, I prefer Tosh.
oh my god.
Go to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals and enter the promo code filthycasuals to save $3 or bunkos, if you will.
Mm-hmm. US bunkos.
Yes. Yes. On any new subscription today.
So, speaking of the Bolsheviks and the tensions that led to that situation.
Yes.
And
he's in his element, isn't he?
God.
The following
he's at the top of the slippery slide and he's getting ready to push himself down.
He's doing this over a PowerPoint presentation too. I'd like the listeners to know.
And then there are a lot of people with economic fears and that led them to some pretty awful beliefs.
Yes.
And anyway, World War II.
Yes.
Specifically.
Oh, Sonic. Eggman's up to his old tricks.
World Warcraft 2.
Call of Duty World War 2 and Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. I played both of them this week. Which one do you want to hear about first? Which order do you want to hear them in?
I would prefer, first of all, to hear about Call of Duty.
Mm. Okay.
A game that you have been excited for a very long time.
So...
You caught Nox mid raspberry.
I know. I noticed as soon as I started speaking, I felt immediately regretful. Just do it now anyway.
No, because I'm not sure if that's fair.
It doesn't even deserve a raspberry.
It's one of the blandest things I've ever seen of any medium.
Wow.
It is just so grey.
Right.
And not in a...
You're looking right at me as you say this. Is this about the game or is this just about me?
Do you want to hear about the single player or the multiplayer or the zombies bit first?
Ooh, what do you want?
I'm doing like a choose your own adventure review here.
I like this.
I mean, I'm going to zone out at some point. So talk about single player because that's what I am interested in.
I'd like you to take your little top off.
Yeah.
The single player part of Call of Duty is one of the flattest gaming things that I've seen in a long time.
Right.
Do you remember when World War II games were big in early post Saving Private Ryan?
Medal of Honor, Allied Assault and so on.
Honestly, this could be Medal of Honor with better graphics.
Right.
It's just so fucking... But also so they try to have this story going through it of you and your squad.
Yep.
You're in the late stages of World War II. It starts with D-Day, a fucking gen.
Yeah, right.
And look, there's nothing wrong with D-Day as a setting for...
It was perfectly good...
Don't get me wrong. I love a good D-Day as much as the next bloke.
Yeah.
But there's stuff that you could probably do with that in terms of a new thing, but it's just you coming in on the boat again.
Yeah.
People going, 20 seconds!
Yeah.
And all your people going all right, if we get through this, then hey, we're going to win that war.
And then the door goes down and the guy next to you gets shot.
Everyone gets shot over the sides.
Yeah.
This sounds sick.
It's fucking boring.
Welcome to the show, Michael Winslow.
It's just so fun. And then you get up and then... One of your fucking squad mates, he's a real hard ass and he's the second in command, but he's doing it because he had a bad experience with another squad. And he's a good guy deep down, but he's a bit of a jerk.
Wow.
And then one of you guys is like...
I love that this is the idea that this is your one-man show.
I know, he's...
Adam Knox in Call of Duty
Adam
World
Knox
War II.
Describes Call of Duty World War II.
Well, let's keep going. I'm the leader and I got a head on my shoulders, but at some point, spoilers, I'm going to die and it's going to inspire the squad to change their way and it's going to be a shake-up.
Is there a wise
wisecracking New Yorker.
There's a wisecracking New Yorker Jew.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Here he comes. Hey, I got a personal reason for not liking these fucking Nazis.
Oh, Adam, yes. Come down. Dinner's ready. In no. a minute, Mom. Oh, sorry. I didn't see you guys there. The Mornington Peninsula is a fascinating place.
I got a fucking little medallion as well that's like my good luck charm. Do you reckon I'm going to lose that when they take me? Oh. Absolutely.
And in the end, the true war is inside of us all.
There's the bigot guy. There's the smart guy who they call college.
Duke Amal.
It's fucking... Anyway, so they're all bland. You go
Nazis
through...
Nazis were so unkind.
All of these fucking situations that you've been through in these sort of games before and in a million other things.
Yeah.
There's no... Like, so there are a couple of little set pieces. The Call of Duty campaigns, the best part of them have always been the really creative set pieces yeah. they do sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And these ones are just so fuck it. There's one. So, like, there's a couple of okay ones where, like, you're a French spy going through, like, a resistance member going through a Nazi sort of compound.
Which I feel like is one of the few things that hasn't been really depicted in video games, that kind of French resistance element.
And it lasts for a few seconds, then you're fucking shooting people with a Garand again going, ding, fucking noise again. And, like, that noise existed, but it just, it is not. That World War II well has been run so dry.
Yeah.
And it sounds like when it's doing this stuff, it's doing it in a way where it's kind of like, you know, you can picture the people making it going, how fucking cool is this? We've made it feel just like what, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, absolutely.
And then it's done with this sense of like fucking like the real thing.
And it feels like if they had been going at this with a genuinely creative angle, if you showed them Saving Private Ryan, they'd be like, oh, no, fuck, someone already did it.
Yeah, right.
And it's just that. It's so fuck it. And so, but then it goes too big at points when it tries to do its own thing, where there's this scene where you're chasing down this train that has dangerous cannons on it. It's going to go to the front and shoot.
Dangerous cannons?
Yeah, not the safe ones.
Oh.
Well, like, I don't know, the Pacabell's cannon, pretty safe.
Oh, yeah. But
It's you chase it down in this like uncharted fucking Jeep sequence, and it isn't fun. And then you drive in front of the train in a cutscene like a fucking idiot by mistake, and it derails the train. And genuinely, for about the next 2 minutes, the train has about 80 carriages that all keep flipping towards you with more momentum than possible. Fuck. It honestly seems like a joke, and every single one of them nearly lands on you. And it's just this guy rolling for about a half an hour. Ooh. As carriage after carriage lands, it's just so bombastic. Fuck. But not in a self-aware way, in a really deadpan, serious, aren't I fucking cool way.
Yeah, right.
And it every single beat of the story is bland and lame and fucking derivative and rote, and to the point of being, and like,
to be fair, it's derivative of an actual world war.
Yes, but a world war. And you know what I mean? We've seen these exact fucking situations again and again and again. There's other shit that happened.
Yeah, you know,
and there's other stories of people who were involved to tell. Yeah. It tries to do a bit of that where it's like this guy had a life back home, but his life back home is fucking boring.
Right.
His brother got attacked by wolves. Fuck you.
What?
Now he's scared of wolves.
Wait a minute.
But boring.
It's just, no, but
brother
it's
being ripped limb from limb. Oh, what a snooze fest.
But it's you
that
know,
sounds fascinating.
It's I don't know what the equivalent of outback in America. It's rural America. Stick up for yourself. You got to live your life off the land. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no fucking character to any of these people beyond this bland fucking
I love this image of like these guys in a boat. The very start of the game. Not the character Knox is playing as. Like the guy next to him turns to him and goes, you know, when I was a kid, I watched my brother get ripped limb from limb by a pack of wolves, and Knox going, how the fuck do you skip this shit? Like looking for the button.
He keeps putting the crosshair of the guy's head. Why can't I shoot this guy?
Not but equipped
if,
yet.
If getting attacked by wolves sounds exciting to you, Call of Duty World War II finds a way to make that incredibly dull.
Right.
And it feels boring to play because you're just going through point shoot, point shoot, point shoot. It's the flattest, most linearly designed and most uncreatively designed part of Call of Duty. That it's the worst it's been in years,
right?
Well, stuff.
I'm sure I'm glad that our grandparents who fought in World War II are not, most of whom aren't alive to see this game being made, and then And then their future generations just shitting all over it. Going, yeah. What a boring experience.
But that's part of the thing of it, is that this crazy thing happened and it tries to come at it with the tone of like, isn't war hell?
Yeah.
It fucking drops the ball so fucking hard.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. It should be the easiest thing in the world. Yeah.
How can you have me literally walk through a Nazi internment camp and be going like, you've made this not affecting.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
I read, I don't know if this is true, Knox, that they show POW camps, but they don't reference or show the concentration camps.
No, they show one POW camp at the end, and it's where your friend went. You're still trying to track him down.
Yeah.
I'm ruining the story here, but
amazing.
Who cares? They ruined
decision.
It first.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should probably have a bit of Auschwitz in there.
They were gonna do it because they had them all being loaded onto trains.
Yeah.
I thought they were gonna do it. And like honestly, like, video games as a medium should be able to portray anything, but there is something implicit to being able to play something that does make it a little bit of a task to try and approach serious fucking material. You know
you
what I
know
mean?
You know there's someone in the developer going, fuck, we forgot to put any Auschwitz stuff in. And then someone else going, DLC? Season pass?
Yeah.
Auschwitz DLC is one of the most grim fucking thoughts.
Isn't it just the worst
thought? I wouldn't
fucking
put it past them, though, because they seem so tone deaf. But not to
they
the point.
They get savaged.
Yeah.
Well, because in the multiplayer they've made it, and I think that this is a wise decision, they've made it so you can play as any gender, race, whatever. Well, not any, but you know what I mean.
Oh, that's right. And that got announced and people hated it, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they took the women didn't fight in World War II.
Yeah.
Which you play as a female French resistance fighter in the thing. But
right.
And they had huge roles in it and they were in plenty of combat. But anyway, not in combat roles necessarily, but in combat situations. Anyway, the multiplayer portion of it, I think... This is what I'm saying, where it's like, because it's a video game, you have to step back from it a little bit, because they took all the swastikas out and have it just as like the axis symbol, the sort of
the iron cross
thing. Yeah,
yeah,
the iron cross.
Yeah.
Because people have to play as the Nazis. And maybe some people are totally happy to do that, but they've pulled it back in a way, partly because they are trying to sell you loot boxes in this thing. So it's trying to consolidate wanting to collect all your Nazi memorabilia with this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just
an
odd
they've
tone.
Sanitized it while having a serious tone. Like it's
well, because video games have gotten to this point where they are so gratuitous and gross in how they monetize things and how they make everything incentivizing you to collect more shit for money that it no longer makes sense as much as it did in the past, to have it just be this historical experience, because all the trappings around it have gotten more and more exploitative of people.
And
that is a difficult thing to justify in that situation.
Yeah.
So in the multiplayer, they have like sort of a Destiny style lobby now where you're walking around.
Right.
And you drop your fucking loot boxes as like supply things that you've bought.
Yeah,
and
right.
And it just is so weird. The
so it still is gross and tacky. It just doesn't have swastikas in it.
It just, they very cleverly realized we can't decorate this casino with swastikas.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And so the single player has all of that stuff and it goes, you know, full on with the Nazis but it manages also to just make it really fucking flat and like I said, unaffecting because it's just not well written at all.
Right.
There's no character to any of these people, and so you don't feel anything from any of it, because you see all these people, you know, they're cold in trenches and stuff, but they aren't fucking well written, so they don't seem like human beings.
Right.
They seem like shitty little animated characters. It looks very nice.
Yeah.
The graphics are really, really good. The multiplayer is still relatively fun. It's basically the same as it's been for ages.
Yeah.
Right. So if you still want more, then there's that for you. And then the zombies mode is campy and silly like those have been. David Tennant's in it and Bing Rames. And it's kind of most...
this review took a turn.
Well, that bit is the most fun that it's having.
Right.
And it's not that it should be having fun in the single player bit, but it should be having...
It should be entertaining.
To not be able to be creative with... you know, human fucking stories pushed to their limits is shitty.
Yeah.
You know, like anyone should be able to write a good World War II Nazi story. Not anybody, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Anyone who has a sincere go at
we
it.
We all have the context of it.
Yeah.
You've got so much assumed like prior knowledge to kind of work with.
And so much inherent human drama.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So focus on these people and have it be a story about people, which Saving Private Ryan did 20 fucking years ago. And it's great.
Yeah.
And you Band of Brothers as well. You know,
did all you finish this?
Yes.
Oh, God bless you, sir.
Jesus.
You care about this podcast.
Yeah, if the last 5 minutes had been amazing, then I would have had to have changed. But you know what?
Yeah.
They weren't.
Yeah.
But you can tell a really good story with Nazis as Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus.
You had
does.
Such a smooth segue set up there, and then you forgot how to talk.
Look at this. I've built a bridge for my car to get over this river. Now for me to fucking jump off of it.
Now that's an exciting set piece.
Yeah, that's a hell of a set piece.
Oh, boy. And that's the thing. Just quickly with Call of Duty, it does some of those set pieces and then manages to make them play badly enough that it doesn't. Anyway.
Yeah, right.
Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. Mm. You've played a little bit of this, Tommy.
I've played up. First of all, let me say, earlier when you repeatedly had a go at me for not playing many games, I mean, fuck you, okay? How fucking dare you? So I've played an hour of this. I've done not much of it at all. I think I'm just about through basically the intro. I reckon I've played it for maybe an hour and a half.
Right. It's not a particularly long game.
Yeah.
I've finished in about 7 or 8 hours, something like that.
Oh, right.
So my main thing with it is having not really played one for a very long time, man, oh,
one
man,
is in a
am
shooter?
I... Yeah.
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 Man, oh, man, am I bad at shooters.
Right.
I just lack the response time and dexterity to, you know, to be quickly controlling two sticks at once.
Right.
And that quick response time of whipping around from person to person.
Well, so...
So a lot of it is... I'll interject.
Yeah,
I am already on the easiest setting, but there's multiple areas already where it's taken me several goes to get it.
Right. In terms of it being a shooter, I think that this is not a particularly well-designed one.
Right, interesting.
And it's a little bit of a demanding one, and I don't know what it's demanding of me.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Playing through that, there were multiple times when I was talking to someone about this before, that... I felt like I was doing everything right but dying, or I felt like I just fucking Mr. Magood'd my way through that situation.
Right. That's interesting. I've kind of had that as well, and I just assumed it was down to me.
No, I think it's just poorly designed in that way because
what,
a shooter...
In what way is it different to the previous ones and like the Doom?
It's the level design, I think.
Oh.
So either like the two main types of shooter, right, are based on you dodging or based on you hiding. Or I guess on just accuracy straight away. But if you hide in this, it's very quick for you to get flanked. There's not really any places where you can consolidate and find health.
Right.
And you don't have recharging health. You've got to go find it.
Yeah.
That was my main thing about going back to a shooter, having not played a proper first-person one for many, many years, was like you just there's that feeling where because of your view, you just all of a sudden are getting – you know you're getting hit, but it takes you so long to work out where, like, you have to quickly, without having a map as well, it's like, where the fuck is that coming from? And that's always been the thing.
Yeah.
Whereas that third person, you've always got that little bit of extra context.
Even if you have, like, the situational awareness of to know where everyone is, sometimes you're just fucked.
Yeah.
Because the way that the levels are designed, people have an angle on you almost wherever you are.
Right, right.
Unless you fuck off into some corner and wait until they all come down this corridor.
Yep. Yeah, which I do seem to remember happening in the previous Wolfenstein.
And it's worse in this one as well. I went back and played a little bit of that before doing this one. But so then the other type, which is what Doom did and really worked, is to have this like athletic style of shooter where you're jumping around, dodging everything because every shot that the enemies fire is in some way avoidable.
Yeah, yeah. Right. If you're
this
in constant forward motion, then by definition their shots are where you just were.
Yeah, you can be athletic enough to jump around at all. And you can't do that with this because if they have line of sight on you, they will hit you if they shoot.
Right.
Yeah.
And even if you're moving.
And the bit I've been doing, it's very narrow. It's a lot of confined spaces.
Yeah.
So there's not,
right.
You come under fire and you're like, fuck, I got to get out of here and get some cover and regain myself. And there's nowhere for you to go. You're just kind of trapped.
When I was playing on the harder difficulty settings, the only really viable way to do it that I found, maybe I'm fucking terrible at this, but I don't think that's true.
Okay.
It was to have some knowledge of the level. So I had to die a few times doing it to know there's armor over here, there's health over here, I can go to that, and to sort of plan out a strategy in that way.
Yeah.
The problem with that is you can't fucking do that intuitively because it's all hidden around the place.
Yeah.
You have to trial and error it a few times.
Yeah.
And that just isn't very fun. So the when I started to have actual, not fun, but to find some sort of satisfying level of, it became fun when I stopped caring about playing it, put it on the lowest setting,
yeah,
right,
and just let it be this really satisfying. And then it was satisfying to shoot a bunch of Nazis.
But right. It's also like, it's a bit, the thing I found with it is like when your health gets really low, you just go, well, I'm just fucked. Like, I'm not going to be able to get it. Yeah. I'm just here. There's no health around me. The second I stand up, I'm getting shot. So I'm just fucked.
You take a lot of damage games, very quickly.
Yeah, like Uncharted, you can have the screen be red and be so close and still have a lot of people around, and you still always feel like, no, I can get out of this and I can recover. And those are some of the most satisfying moments in games, is being, you know, killing a boss with the last little bit of health left but still feeling like you have a chance. And it's when games, you know, have that inbuilt thing where you just go, I may as well just walk into the bullet because there's no point.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no point in me now. This is just undoable now without having...
Totally. The only way you can really avoid that in this is if you have some knowledge of where everything's located in the map by having died in it 7 times.
Yeah.
And that isn't fun.
I will say, I know I haven't played it yet, and I know that you have played the previous one, Nox, and previous game FPSs similar to this with, you know, armor pickups and health pickups and ammo stuff. The concept or the design style of having to die a couple of times to figure out the level and locations of stuff and getting down to that last bit of health and thinking that you fucked it, your save's fucked and you can't get through it, and then pushing through and getting to the next stage is how I remember the New Order playing.
This is a poorly done version of that, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? That, like, also just having to push a button to pick up ammo and health pickups and stuff is really annoying.
Right.
Yeah,
it's weird, and you can't switch that.
Make yeah.
But it just the level design is worse.
Right, right.
You know, like they don't have the same sort of...
Because at least in those, in the previous game, yes, I would have to die a couple of times to know, oh, that room over there is safe and there's a gun that you can pick up there.
Yeah.
And then you'll have a good vantage point for this. At the very least, I think the designs of those levels would be pushing you through it in a way that teaches you what to do.
The problem with this is more that there aren't many of those that room over theirs.
Yeah.
You right.
Just I will say...
The level is just... they're all just not great.
Right.
So far in this, it does understand that it's, you know, what makes a game fun. Like, it gives you... You know, you pretty early on, you just start getting these, like, big crazy guns that you just get to go fucking mental with, and it's like, oh, okay, this... It understands like the thrill factor of like, here's a fucking big thing that can cut through metal, but hey, you can also point it at people. It's like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
it's not really staggering it. It's so far for me, it's just like already thrown a bunch of like pretty high tech cool shit at me.
Right. Very deliberately, there are two massively different halves to this game.
Right.
In terms of the actual mechanical playing of it, I didn't really like until I put it way down onto the easiest difficulty and just tore through it, because every other part of the game is really fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It looks great. It is so, it looks fantastic. It's really fucking creative with where it sends you and what happens in the story, which is ends up like the second half of it is fucking cool.
Right.
And has some stuff in it that happens that is some of my favorite things I've seen in like cutscenes of video games.
Oh, cool.
Right.
The very start took a while to just sort of get me
into
it.
It's a slow start. The whole first half of it is...
A lot of cutscene-y stuff. The stuff where you... It's like you flashing back to yourself as a kid and your dad makes you shoot your dog.
It's the first half is a lot more sort of down in tone than the second half.
Yeah.
As well, but
because it does a thing at the very when you first turn it on, it kind of, in case you haven't played the first one, it does a bit of a recap what happened, but it does it so rapid fire that I was watching it going, I have no fucking idea what any of this is. I even briefly forgot what the Nazis were. That's how like scattergun it feels,
right?
Yeah. And so I spent the first maybe 15 to 20 minutes of the game not super invested because I didn't quite, you know, get who everyone was. And aside from it being Nazis, like I didn't quite get the context of everything.
Yeah.
And then once I think there's that second big cutscene where you meet the main villain for the first time, where I kind of went, oh, okay, I kind of get it now. I kind of didn't need all that other stuff at the start. You could have just had some text and chucked me in.
Yeah, you only really need to know that you're a part of a ragtag group. These are your friends, the enemies.
Which I wish you'd have just done that at the start, but it's like it brings you through all this stuff where it's like, Okay, well, if you played the first
game, it was a good reminder for me of the bits that I had, and then I went, "Oh right, of course, that fucking happened."
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really goes some fucking places with it that I think was just so this weird sense of fun in a game about Nazis having won the war.
Yeah, you know?
And when it leans on its like 60s shit and it's like the Nazis are in America stuff, it gets really fucking clever and not clever necessarily, but just really it's got a pace to it that when you can let the game get out of its own way and just barrel through it like a roller coaster is really fun to experience. And maybe like there's some stuff to do that's separate to the main story at some point. You have these like assassination missions that you're given to go and kill these like commanders at some point, which just use the old levels and stuff.
Oh, right, right. But,
I've gotten very used to the only thing I've played close to an FPS. It's not an FPS, but Splatoon, where you, with the Pro controller, you have that bit of motion control, which you don't want to use all the time. But I've gotten, with shooting, I've gotten so used to just being able to use that tiny little tilt of the wrist to just get that extra bit of precision. And so not having that has really thrown me. Like, just when you're like that close to the head, just being able to have little extra bit. It's weird that that's not just a standard thing now, because when it works so well.
You can have a fair bit of like auto aim when you aim down the sights. That is, I guess, the closest thing to that. But it doesn't play great as a shooter, in my opinion.
Right.
But it's fun to go through.
Big question. I am fascinated to see how this runs on the Switch.
When that comes
out.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's all I can think about the whole time I'm playing. I'm like, man, this looks fucking great. I do not know how they're gonna pull that off. I mean, they must be confident, but Jesus Christ.
I saw a little bit of Doom running on the Switch at PAX.
Mm.
And it didn't look amazing, but it ran okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm assuming they just bump the settings as low as they go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And go for that.
But that'll be interesting to see. Because
lot of the kind of really good looking visuals are part of what helped. Like it's a really fun thing as an experience, and I would honestly probably say that it's worth waiting to get for $10 or $15.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you won't probably have the urge to ever play through it again, and it's about 7 or 8 hours long.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not. Don't like watch it on YouTube or something, because that's essentially stealing it.
Yep.
But it wouldn't be an unsatisfying way to do it.
Yeah, right.
You know cool. I mean? Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far, and even though I'm really bad at it, I still like playing it.
And
yeah.
The other thing, like I don't think this is a spoiler really.
Mm.
It's clearly got a third as an option.
Okay, yeah.
Right. So it's something that I would really like for them to lean into, or just to change up the shooting in some fucking way.
Like, you know what you'll like, Ben? Bit of enforced slow walk intro. You're in a fucking wheelchair.
Enforced
like,
slow walk is not accurate.
I was like, boy, oh boy, I cannot wait for this to be over.
You know what? Weirdly, that is more impactful if you've played the first one.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Because at the end of the first one, again, I guess this is a spoiler thing, but you get really fucked up and it's implied that you die at the end.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, and then it's you coming back and but the everything that isn't the way that the game plays is I really liked and thought was just really fun, except for, and again, technically a spoiler, but not really. The song that plays right at the as the end credits kick in, it's right after this really, you know, built up cool moment, the culmination of this fucking story, and then it brings in this death metal fucking version of "We're not gonna take it."
Oh wow!
And it's genuinely one of the worst, like jarring shifts of like it just. If you play it down the line, and there's a mod to change that, which I'm assuming someone will do. Fucking don't play it with that, because boy,
right?
That really fucking threw me. Everything cool. else, pretty fun.
Yeah,
Ben, not fun, but you know,
you've spent a bit of time with Assassin's Creed.
Yeah,
after we talked about it last week.
Yeah, I've played a fair bit of it, and I really like it. It's visually incredible. It's set in ancient Egypt, and it's got fantastic, just like the dunes, the oases, the buildings, the statues. Like visually, it's great.
It's fun to play. It has a lot of the stuff, the Far Cry stuff of hunting, gathering, and crafting. But incorporating that, you have an eagle friend, so you can like go into eagle mode, and you go into an eagle, you're flying around, and you can just kind of like see all this stuff and mark it.
That eagle can fly so high, too.
Yeah.
I liked the first time doing that, just seeing how high up it can. It's real high.
It's really cool. You get to ride a camel around.
Nice.
The missions are pretty fun. They're kind of, some of them are more Tomb Raider-y in that it's like you literally go into tombs and you look around, you loot stuff, and you kind of do a bit of platforming.
Mm-hmm.
Are you finding, because you're further on in this than I got.
Yeah.
Are you finding that they aren't as repetitive as the other games?
Yes.
Because the first few it gives you are like, okay, I've done this stuff before. I've just like, go here and kill people, you know, that sort of thing.
They're a little bit different, and maybe it's the setting, but it's kind of like go through this cave and find this stuff and then emerge from this cave and fight these people, and then there's some hyenas there and yeah, there's a bit more variety. And
yeah.
It's more like the Far Cry missions where there's sometimes some fucking animals will run in and fuck shit up for you. Like,
and are the stories around those things like okay?
They're okay.
Right.
They're not terrible. The worst thing about them is that they're kind of bland and forgettable.
Right.
Right.
Which is the same for the overarching story from what I've experienced so far. Like the setup and the introduction of the characters was so like fast and superficial that it almost felt like they didn't care about them.
I thought that I'd accidentally skipped the cutscene or something.
I feel exactly the same way.
Because it really fucking just kicks you in there.
Yeah. I wasn't sure what my character's name is for like 3 hours.
I got him confused with the other friend character to me because there's a cutscene that introduces, like, and it skips in time a little bit.
There's a flashback where you're younger and you look exactly like your best friend in the present day. It's like, what the fuck is going on? And then, the setup for the story, or at least like the setup for who you are and your motivations, comes a couple of hours in.
Yeah.
And that setup is so boring that should have been at the start.
And has, if it's the thing I'm thinking of, a very silly thing that happens in it.
Oh, yes.
Where the character slips a bit.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, if that was in a movie, or like that would just be, that's just ridiculous.
It's fucking stupid.
That's really stupid.
And so unnecessary too, because you could have had the same stakes with someone anyway.
One of the other people should have done it to motivate you further. But then, so other stuff like these kind of masked secret society guys are behind this thing. And it's like this ancient Egyptian cult.
Mm-hmm.
Society, and so like all of the fucking style of it is great, like all the masks and the designs, and it's all quite evocative and interesting and kind of creepy and cool. It's just that it's framing around the most boring story that they could have done,
right?
But it really isn't about that, like the world itself is really good looking.
Yeah,
how does it run on the PS4?
It runs okay. It feels, a lot of people are saying, oh, it looks amazing, looks incredible, the water effects are beautiful. It's far, it's good.
Yeah.
It's not impressing me more than any other game, but it looks nice.
It's just very well designed as well, I think. And it's a setting that you don't see very often, which is cool.
Yeah.
It runs a little shittily sometimes on the Xbox One.
Right.
We should say just the original versions of each of them, because the Xbox One X came out this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And people are saying, like, On the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X, it looks particularly good.
Yeah,
which I can understand. Like the design of it and the layout, and it's like beautiful lakes with, you know, beaches and palm trees and crocodiles and like deer and antelope or whatever running around. And if I can see how that could look particularly great,
yeah,
it looks nice.
Yeah,
it looks fine. But also, like, the combat mechanics have been changed. They're different to all previous Assassin's Creed games. They're way better, I think. They're significantly better.
Well, because part of the problem with the old Assassin's Creed games is they very quickly fell in that thing of wait for someone to attack you, hit the button at the right time to deflect, stab them afterwards. That's combat. That's all of combat.
Or just mash square until you win.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit more nuanced and fun and difficult. And it's kept the free-running platforming as fluid and fun as it's always been. So in terms of like a game that is an open world game with a bunch of tasks to do, hunting, assassinating people, climbing, exploring, running around, collecting stuff. That's all the best that this series has been in a long time.
Right.
And incredibly fun, just in general, if you've never played one. The story is maybe the worst it's been in a while.
Right. But the stories have been, I mean, you haven't been that enthralled with the stories in the last few anyway. So
yeah.
As long as the core mechanics are back to being
the characters
super fun,
have been a little bit more interesting maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's all just a very side note sort of thing though. It really isn't the focus of the game.
So it very much seems to be this story is an excuse to get you from this village to this temple to this town to this city.
Right.
So,
and they all look great and are really fun to
play. They're doing like these timed events for it. Have you seen that stuff?
Yeah,
fucking Anubis thing?
Yes.
That looks crazy.
Yeah.
That just started today when we're recording this, so I haven't seen that. But basically,
it's like the kind of Destiny or World of Warcraft things where there's like a big boss and you go over there and you fight it and you get heaps of rewards.
But only for 2 weeks. It's like Hitman as well had those like timed contract things.
Yeah.
I think I agree that like, it's definitely not reinventing anything about this type of thing.
Yeah.
Like the combat's changed up a bit, but to catch up to what other games have done, sort of like it feels quite close to the sort of Zelda-y kind of halfway towards Dark Souls-ish type comp, you know what I mean, where it's like it's a little bit more hard, but it's not just Batman style stuff.
It's also introduced or changed, I guess, because it had this stuff before, the gear, weapons, upgrades, clothes, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Have you been finding that you need to pay any attention to that beyond equipping the thing with the highest number? Do you know what I mean?
I agree. Like, I agree. There is, like, the bows are different. Like, the different kinds of bows are used in different ways. So, like, there will be a bow where, you know, you hold down to aim and then you hold down to pull it back and you shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be bows where you hold down to aim and then you press it to shoot.
Right.
So it's more like a gun.
Some of them are like, more geared towards hunting.
Some are longer range
and
have significant like functional differences. But yeah, most of the time it's just like what does the most damage and what has the best armor.
Yeah, with the shields and stuff, it just sort of, it's like that thing of like Oblivion or something where you upgraded your stuff at the same rate that everything else upgraded. So it never really felt like, this is a prediction. I don't know if this is the case of the game. But I have a feeling it won't change anything up significantly because everything will be coming up with the same numbers as you go.
You're right. It's not like you're choosing a specific balance of gear to suit your play style.
Yeah.
You're just having the best possible at
any
one time.
Right, because you're not limited in any way other than whether or not you have the thing.
Yeah.
So it's not like you have to choose, well, I want to be acrobatic. Like if you could be a heavy fucking dude who can't climb walls anymore
or a
light person who can climb but doesn't attack as well, like that sort of stuff might have been really interesting.
Yeah. Like games don't tend to do that anymore. They're just like, there's a tech tree that you will get maximum by the end of the game and you'll have all the gear you need.
Yeah.
But having said that, it's kind of, I like collecting this stuff and it's well designed and fun and
it's a beautiful like the world is enough to probably propel you through quite a lot of that game too, because it really looks good and it's fucking huge.
Yeah.
And just such a unique, different thing to most other games.
Totally. And like the quests that I've played, there's a shit ton of side quests and the fact that they all seem to just be an excuse to get you to this location and explore it and do some fun combat is fine because it's really beautiful and the combat's fun.
Yeah, great.
I foresee it being a game that I play a lot of.
Yeah.
I want to say very quickly about Call of Duty as well. I forgot this, but it hitches up a bit while you're playing it.
Right.
I was playing on the Xbox One and in the single player thing only, it had little just fucking hitches. And part of the thing with those games has been that they've run so smoothly and it just like, it was so fucking annoying.
Wow.
It was pretty regular. I think it was when it was saving or something, but it would just hitch up.
Is this just a thing of us getting to the point in a console generation where we need the next console?
Yeah, I really hope not, because like until any of us have a 4K TV, I would say that none of us are probably thinking even a little bit of getting any of those things.
No.
4K TVs are still prohibitively expensive.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/ That's not what we're...
Well, I guess that we should leave it there for this week.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, guys. Good week of games. We're all with one big exception, but...
Man, call it... And look...
Hey, it was interesting to talk about.
That series has got to be almost on its decline by now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, thank you for listening. Of course, you can find our Patreon, links for tickets for our live show, T-shirts and stuff, filthycasuals.com.au. Get on iTunes, leave us a review, all of that sort of stuff. Yeah, let us know what you've been playing. We love getting the feedback and the emails and all that sort of stuff. We're on all the social media, all the links on our website. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
we're not going to take it. No.
See how awful that'd be?
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.